This is the 5 o'clock report. 20 minutes of uninterrupted news, commercial-free. I'm Jeff Kaplan. KSL's top story. Developing news on KSL. The man convicted of killing University of Utah football player Aaron Lowe in 2021 has just been sentenced to 15 years in prison. KSL News Radio's Emma Keddington has more.
25-year-old Book has been sentenced 15 years to life behind bars for Lowe's murder. He will spend that time at the Utah State Prison. Lowe was shot and killed at a house party in 2021. Book was also sentenced another 3 years to life for attempted murder for shooting a 20-year-old woman at that same house party who survived.
In exchange for his guilty plea earlier this year, the second-degree felony charges for obstruction of justice and possession of a weapon were dismissed. We're going to learn more about the sentencing from our KSL legal analyst Greg Skordis in just a few minutes, so stay with us. KSL News Time 501, he won at the GOP convention, but gubernatorial candidate Phil Lyman might have a problem. There are claims that his running mate isn't qualified to run.
Phil Lyman's interpretation of a line in the Utah Constitution is what's up for debate, specifically the part that reads, resident citizen of the state for 5 years, next preceding the election. Lyman's statement referred to an Ohio Supreme Court ruling the term next would require any period of 5 years preceding the 2024 election, and says Lane Bangerter meets the requirement. But Senator Todd Weiler gave David Dujanovic his legal interpretation of the line.
It's very clear that the intent is it has to be 5 years up to the date of the election. And we know that that hasn't been met here.
We've yet to reach the elections office for clarity on the verbiage. Eric Cabrera, KSL News Radio.
The Lyman campaign says Lane Bangerter has lived in Utah for more than 30 years. They admit he's also lived in Idaho and insist he is a fully qualified candidate for lieutenant governor. Over the weekend, the current lieutenant governor said the Republican Party convention was inappropriate for children. She said her 10-year-old nieces were exposed to sexually explicit epithets. Deseret News reporter Holly Richardson says there were other disturbing experiences.
There were fists thrown. There were police presence had to be called over. There were delegates walking around in a T-shirt that said, make tar and feathers legal again.
And the response from the party chairman?
Utah GOP chair Robert Axon told me from his view on the stage.
Most people there participated in positive ways and participated in respectful conversations in spite of differences of opinion.
Though Axon did say if there were any interactions he didn't see that went too far, he said he would not condone, nor is there any space for that kind of behavior. He also spoke to why he thinks some big-name candidates like Governor Spencer Cox and Congressman John Curtis got crushed by their first-time opponents.
So what I sensed was a number of delegates feeling like some of these other candidates, they're already on the primary ballot. And so I'm going to support somebody else so that there can be a continuation of options.
Adam Small, KSL News Radio.
Protesters are still refusing to budge despite a deadline set by Columbia University. Maria Chaleos is live at the KSL National News Desk.
Jeff, the deadline to clear the camp passed about 5 hours ago, and now the university is handing out suspensions. Student leaders say the cause is worth the consequences.
These repulsive scare tactics mean nothing compared to the deaths of over 34,000 Palestinians.
NYPD officers are positioned just off campus, but have not taken any measures yet to clear the protesters. Meantime, tensions are rising in Austin, Texas, where hundreds of pro-Palestine protesters are clashing with police in riot gear. The Biden administration has wrapped up its investigation into allegations that Israeli security forces violated the human rights of Palestinians.
We found 5 Israeli units responsible for individual incidents of gross violations of human rights.
State Department spokesman Vedant Patel says the findings involve years-old allegations against Israeli forces operating outside of Gaza. He says the Israelis have remediated 4 of those units. 3 law enforcement officers were killed today, 5 others wounded, serving a warrant for a felon wanted for possessing a firearm. The officers were first shot at from the front yard as they approached the Charlotte, North Carolina home. After that man fell, more shots were fired from inside the home. A suspect was found dead in the front yard. 2 other people were found in the home after a 3-hour standoff. You can get more details at kslnewsradio.com. Live from the KSL National News Desk, I'm Maria Chaleos, KSL News Radio.
West Jordan police are trying to figure out who made a hoax call earlier this afternoon and caused a major emergency response. About 30 first responders showed up to a home on Hidden Peak Drive after Sergeant Andrew Hercules said someone told authorities that several people were seriously hurt.
Whatever information that did come across and was dispatched to the officers who responded made them all believe that this was real and this was very serious.
Authorities still don't know who made the call, but it was blocked. This is the second time this has happened to the same house this year. First look traffic on the 5 o'clock report. We turn to Ricky Meese.
Traffic is really crowded and slow both directions of I-15 between American Fork and Linden. Redwood Road seeing some delays tonight as you go southbound from Camp Williams down to 2100 North. And then for those headed northbound on Legacy, we've had some traffic that's been filling in, and it's a little slow going from Woods Cross into Bountiful. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
Thanks, Ricky. KSL News Time 5:06. As we were reporting a few minutes ago, the man who pleaded guilty to killing University of Utah football player Aaron Lowe back in 2021 has been sentenced to 15 years to life. Joining me live, KSL legal analyst Greg Skordis. And Greg, I'm confused about this case. In my mind, you found guilty of murder, you get a life sentence or worse. What happened here?
Well, in Utah, Jeff, we have what are called indeterminate sentences, and murder in Utah carries a penalty of from 15 to life. It's up to the Board of Pardons to decide how much time an individual will serve, and this man pled guilty to homicide, so he got 15 to life, and attempted homicide, so he got a consecutive 3 to life, so he'll do a minimum of 18. But I'll just tell you this, in my a short 42 years of practicing law, I would say there's no chance that he's going to get out of prison ever, notwithstanding that the sentence does have a 18-year minimum.
So how does that work? He goes before the parole board. He's been a model prisoner, all that. They'll consider the crime and say, nope.
That's exactly right. He's 25. I mean, and so you would expect that he would do 40, maybe longer. I would say that it's likely that he'll serve natural life, but he's in prison already on other crimes. He's got a long rap sheet. You're right. The board will look at him again in 5 years, and 10 years, and 15 years, whatever. And my guess is they will continue to say, sorry, we're not prepared to let you out at this point.
Greg Skordis, we appreciate the explanation. Our KSL legal analyst joining us live. Thanks, Greg. Meantime, a Vernal man is facing attempted murder charges after allegedly shooting a Vernal police officer, Sergeant Chad Watt. 27-year-old Rookus Curry was formally charged yesterday. Saturday night, he got into a heated argument with a neighbor. Police came, and they say Curry opened fire, shooting the sergeant, who's now hospitalized in stable condition. Traffic and weather together brought to you by Sinclair's Dino Pay app. Save up to 20 cents per gallon. Here's Ricky Meese.
Delays linger southbound I-15 from Murray into Draper. But if you're traveling westbound on the 201, we're looking pretty good between I-15 and Bangor. But from 5600 west to Magna, it's still a little heavy and slow. Mark?
I don't see any major backups headed to Willow Main Street, but I do see the jams coming through West Valley on the Big 3, 5600 West, Mountain View, and Bangor Highway. Bangor's slowing again southbound around 9800 South. Still a minute or two extra KSL travel time on Mountain View through daybreak. Finally got some action in Utah County on I-15. The delays between Orem and Lehigh. Steve.
Northbound 15 looking really actually pretty good from downtown Salt Lake all the way to Willard Bay. Do have a crash on southbound 15 at 650 North in Clearfield on the right shoulder. Delays on northbound Legacy Parkway at 500 South through Bountiful. And typical slowdowns on southbound Foothill between Sunnyside and 21st South. Rekindle Adventure in a place everyone connects with. Cedar City and Brian Head. Shopping, dining, museum, spring skiing, tubing, hiking, biking, disc golf, and much more. Level up your adventure. Visit cedarcity.com. Steve Carlson in the KSL Traffic Center.
As we head through the 5 o'clock hour, look for partly to mostly cloudy skies with a few little sprinkles dancing over the valleys. Temperatures will be in the upper 60s. We'll slide into the mid-60s for 6 o'clock, low 60s for 7 and 8, and upper 50s for 9. Ultimate lows will be in the low 40s under partly cloudy skies. With your hourly forecast on the 5 o'clock report, I'm Kevin Eubank.
Showers in Provo right now, 66 degrees there. Likewise, same temperature in Salt Lake City, but mostly cloudy here. Wind out of the west at 9 miles an hour with sunset at 8:22 tonight. KSL News Time, 5:12. The closure of a Moab mobile home park is shedding some light on Utah's affordable housing crisis.
Over the last few years, Utah has seen a handful of mobile home park closures, from Riverdale to Layton to Clearfield to Cottonwood Heights and now Moab. While the rate is not yet skyrocketing, it is worrying because it shows a complete contradiction in the movement toward affordable housing.
Where are those people going to move to? We don't have that infrastructure for people to be able to move and, you know, pay the same. It's just not feasible.
Executive Director of the Utah Housing Coalition, Tara Rollins, says most people have a misconception about mobile home parks. They are incredibly important to our communities because they provide housing options. One of the biggest issues are developers who come in and offer tons of money for the land. The landowner has to be very dedicated to the community and its residents to turn down those big offers. Britt Johnson, KSL News Radio.
KSL News Time, 5:13. Several schools in the Nebo District were told to lock their doors and to go on to secure status for about an hour today after law enforcement heard about a possible threat this morning. Police say they do have one individual in custody. The high water danger has now passed in Ogden. Water officials had to work through the weekend to prevent river flooding.
Ogden River reached near flood levels this weekend, but there's no reason to worry for future flood risks. The river actually reached its peak, and water officials are controlling the flow with timed releases. These releases allow control over water levels in the reservoir and downstream rivers. They happen year-round, but are extremely important during spring runoff when the possibility of flooding grows exponentially.
KSL News Radio's Alexandria Bonilla. Thanks to the controlled releases and a slower snowmelt, there's almost no flood risk in Utah right now. An upstate New York district attorney did the one thing you don't do when a cop pulls you over. She pulled the "Don't you know who I am?" card, and when the cop didn't care, she went off on the officer. So fast forward 3 days.
Monroe County, New York DA Sandra Dorley says she had a long day.
I was dealing with three homicides that occurred over the weekend.
But Dorley says
it was wrong for me to take it out on an officer who was simply doing his job.
That officer following Dorley home after she refused to pull over for speeding.
Police already have a tough job, and that day I made this officer's job harder.
Dorley telling the officer,
I'm sorry.
And saying she'll refer the matter to a district attorney from another county for review. Dave Packer, ABC News, New York.
Trending on social media, American Airlines keeps mistaking a 101-year-old woman for a baby. Apparently, American Airlines system can't compute the woman named Patricia was born in 1922, not 2022. The computer system can't process a birth date so far in the past, so it defaulted to 100 years later instead. The 101-year-old woman is laughing at it, but she wants the glitch fixed. Let her sit in the airplane. The three things you need to know this hour. First,
an FBI agent testifying in the Chad Daybell trial that Lori Vallow Daybell's brother was on the Daybell property where the two kids were found buried just days after those kids were last seen. I'm KSL News Radio's Amy Cobain.
Second, Democratic gubernatorial candidate Mike Brian King has announced his running mate, Rebecca Cummings, a University of Utah librarian, is his pick for lieutenant governor. Third, our biggest traffic trouble spot.
Now starting to see eastbound slowdowns on I-215 South Belt. They start westbound slowdowns. They start after 1300 East, and you'll be clear of them by the time you reach State Street. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
Temperatures in the 60s with partly cloudy skies. I'm Kevin Eubank.
It's 66 at the KSL Common Spirit Health Studios now. Our top national stories.
From ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Shot 8 members of the U.S. Marshals Fugitive Task Force today trying to serve a warrant at a house in Charlotte, North Carolina. 3 were killed. It was a standoff and shootout. Police Chief Johnny Jennings.
Today we lost some heroes that are out to just simply trying to keep our community safe.
Police say they shot a man dead on the lawn in front of the house. Then shots rang out from inside the place. 2 other people inside the home have been taken into custody. Columbia University started suspending student Gaza war protesters camped out on its lawn. The students called the disciplinary action repulsive, a student protest leader.
Losing access to their housing, losing access to campus, losing access to health care on campus, and losing their right to graduation if they are a graduating student.
And they want Columbia to show it's pulling money out of investments not only directly in Israel but in weapons manufacturers. A senior U.S. government official says the Hamas delegation has left Cairo and will return again with a written response to Israel's proposal for a truce and hostage release deal. Israel's foreign minister has said his country would delay a planned offensive in the southern city of Rafah in exchange for the release of at least some hostages.
The White House says Hamas needs to accept the ceasefire deal that is on the table. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
It is time to, is way past time to get these hostages home. It is way past time to get to a ceasefire. And we need to make sure we continue to get that humanitarian aid.
Jean-Pierre said Secretary of State Antony Blinken will continue his diplomatic effort in the region and keep up the pressure on Hamas to accept the proposal. Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
A federal appeals court today ruled West Virginia and North Carolina's refusal to cover certain health care for transgender people with government-sponsored insurance is discriminatory. The court ruled 8-6 in the case involving coverage of gender-affirming care in North Carolina. You're listening to ABC News.
And now the KSL In-Depth, a pretty chaotic weekend for the Utah GOP. Here to debrief us, KSL at Night host Maura Carabello, thanks for coming on. So tell us a little bit about the Republican convention and your thoughts.
Absolutely. I'm just going to give you the headline, which is soon going to be the setup for a joke. What takes 17 hours to complete on a Saturday afternoon? The answer to that question is the Republicans' convention. I mean, Jeff, it started at 7 a.m. and it ended at 11:45 p.m., just before midnight.
I remember we sat here together on caucus night. And they had problems with their election systems on caucus night, and it was chaos at least a few of the major locations. Same story at this event.
Yeah.
Again.
A little bit of a re-round. They started an hour and a half late because they were having problems with their electronic system. There was a small discussion. A set of delegates wanted to look at having paper balloting, which was really not even possible. They weren't prepared for that. So they dispatched with that. Now, one of the things we've seen in the past is that they have these really healthy debates over their platform. That was not the problem this year. They dispensed of that rather quickly. I mean, an easy example, there are 4,000 state delegates. Let's say most of them showed up. They had almost single line registration. So, I mean, the original hour delay was just because of a very long check-in line.
It's like going to the DMV.
Exactly. They've made it a government entity.
Okay. At the convention, apparently there were a lot of frayed nerves because there were a lot of people upset during the course of the day. We heard stories about punches being thrown.
That's what was unique and interesting. Now, let me be clear on who is sort of saying this criticism. Our own lieutenant governor, elected Republican officials. Now, this is sort of Republicans observing Republicans who are saying people were mean, rude. We had a couple people say that a representative and our lieutenant governor said that they brought children and they no longer felt comfortable having a 10-year-old and a 17-year-old with them for listening and seeing the discourse that day.
So these stories are many today. Meantime, you have the nominations of these candidates.
Yeah.
And they were not necessarily the candidates you expected to hear were winning.
Now, this isn't the first time in Utah, but it begs the question, how many times will the delegates put out a candidate that is not widely the candidate of the Republicans voting in the primary? Will we ever see a time when we say maybe these delegates aren't relevant? I'm going to give you some example. Phil Lyman crushed our current governor, Spencer Cox, and he is expected to take the vote, the primary. Trent Staggs, who was endorsed by Donald Trump the eve of convention, he came out as the preferred delegate, U.S. Senate choice to replace Mitt Romney. He is not. He's polling at 5% with the general Republicans who will vote in the primary.
Not with the state of Utah, but 5% within the Republican Party.
That's correct. That would be Republicans who are expected to vote in the primary. And to give you a sense of scale, again, I said there were 4,000 Republican delegates. There are about just under 900,000 registered Republicans who would be eligible for the primary ballot.
Something to ponder. Thanks so much. KSL at Night host Maura Carabello, are you going to be here tonight?
Nope, I won't. Well, yes, actually, Leah Murray and I will be on KSL at night. Make sure you check us out starting at 7 p.m.
Thanks so much. KSL News Time 521. Now, traffic and weather together brought to you by Sinclair's Dino Pay app. Save up to 20 cents per gallon. Here's Ricky Mees.
We do have some slowing westbound on the 201 between I-15 and the West Belt. And again, from Mountain View into Magna, southbound I-215's West Belt. Some spots of heavy traffic. A little slow, no major delays between the 201 junction and Taylorsville. Delays continue southbound I-15, 4500 south to 114th. And then again, as you're passing Bangor Highway, Mark.
KSL traffic trooper calling in some debris in Utah County on I-15. Going to be number one and number two lanes, southbound Pryor to Center Street, Provo. Biggest jams going to be already both sides slow between American Fork and 1600 North Orem. We've also had a crash southbound Bangor reported at 3500 South. Steve.
Seeing some delays right now on southbound 7th East approaching 13th South for some reason. Otherwise, looks like we have delays now building a little bit there on the west side belt route, northbound 215 from I-80 up to 700 North. I-15 itself, slow and go from 2300 North Warm Springs Road into a North Salt Lake. Then it's wide open all the way up to Willard Bay. Is the IRS harassing you? Are tax problems ruining your life? Let Utah tax attorney Jordan Wilcox help. Visit TaxHelpUT.com. That's TaxHelpUT.com. Steve Carlson in the KSL Traffic Center.
KSL 7-day forecast starts off with a few clouds and temperatures in the 50s and 60s, but it will end with plenty of sunshine and temperatures back to the 70s. Tonight, 40 for the low and mostly clear, mostly sunny, a little breezy, and 62 on Tuesday. Partly cloudy and 50s for highs on Wednesday and Thursday. Back to sunshine for the end of the week and 70s return for the weekend. From the KSL Weather Center, I'm Kevin Newbank.
7-day forecast brought to you by Performance Automotive Bountiful. It's 68 degrees.
Jeff Kaplan's Afternoon News, only on KSL News Radio.
When you hold me in your arms so tight, you let me know everything's all right.